Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studios, we are Sports 56, WHBQ Memphis, and W253DF Memphis. It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Good Wednesday morning. They are fiddling with near perfection. The NCAA tournament going to go to 76 teams. We'll address in just a second. Two NBA teams are now into round two. The series are, you know, somewhat entertaining when you look at surprises with the 1-8 Detroit and Orlando. But like last night, every game was a whitewash. It was not fun. Dominance all the way. And we'll get into that in a second, too. The PGA Tour returns to an old familiar stop. Landon Schmidt, I ask you, because I can't remember the last time this was played at Doral. Do you know the nickname for what used to be Doral, now is Trump Doral, because he bought it? Do you know the nickname?
Couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Because it's a generational thing, and they haven't had it there. It's called the Blue Monster.
I couldn't have gotten there.
There's several theories as to why it's the Blue Monster. One, it's tough, and there's a lot of water. But there's an island green, I'm pretty sure, in that mix on a par three. But it's also got blue tees they use for their back tees. The Blue Monster. It'll be fun. You know, only Donald Trump could have a tournament from the PGA Tour at one course, and then he's got another course in Pennsylvania that is scheduled to hold a LIV tournament, if, of course, the LIV is still around. Because we know the one in June in New Orleans is out. I think that the Trump one in Pennsylvania is in May, and I believe that one is still on. We'll all have to wait and see. Did you see, by the way, how many of the top-name players are not going to be at the Blue Monster this week? You know, the winner gets $3.6 million, I think it is, $20 million purse. And these are the players that are missing. There's no Rory. There's no Xander Schauffele. There's no Ludwig Åberg. There's no Matt Fitzpatrick. You know, I would have thought he would have tried just to see if he could win three in a row. I can't remember the last time Scheffler, Tiger. When's the last time somebody won three in a row? You know what the record is? It's 11 in a row by Byron Nelson. And you know where that streak came to an end? Right here in Memphis at Chickasaw Country Club. That's the longest streak ever. 11 straight tournaments Byron Nelson won. That's simply amazing. Of course, the fields weren't like they are now. But you got a problem. Patrick Cantlay also just dropped out. But that is sickness. I don't think that was premeditated like these other guys. But there's obviously so much money in the game now. These guys don't care. I think I'd have to Google it, but I would have to think that the net worth of McIlroy is somewhere between $500 million and a bill, right? Half a bill to a bill. He just doesn't care about the money. He just cares about legacy now and winning majors. Maybe a players' championship in there would be, you know, something he'd want. It's so crazy when the money is that good that you really don't care about competing anymore.
It says Rory's net worth is between $250 and $350 million.
Oh, I thought it was more than that. But still,
it's a lot of millions.
Let's just say it's $300. We'll go in the middle. You can live on $300 million. 4% of that's $12 million. That's $1 million a month. You can live on that. Oh, my goodness. That's quite incredible. Let's get to the NCAA tournament. So I gave you my initial reaction. I think the NCAA tournament is the greatest sporting event. And I love the majors, and I love the World Series, and I love the Super Bowl. But I think if there's one thing that I'll sit at home and I'll watch every game and I'll do the bracket and everything else, I think for me it's the NCAA tournament. because I love college basketball, and I just love the way it works. And I don't really love the fact that they're going to 76 because I think it's unnecessary. And you know me, I'm a guy that loves the underdog. And this is not for the underdog. This is all for the Power Four or the Power Five, because the Big East is considered a power conference in basketball. This is for those guys. This is not to bring in more Cinderella stories. This is because the Greg Sankey and Tony Petitis of the world, which the conference commissioners, when they did their vote, they allowed the Big Ten and the SEC to take over. They said, okay. They were all worried. Mike Oresko in particular was worried they wouldn't allow the American and the group of six now. At that time, it was the group of five because the Pac-12 was still an entity. They were so worried they would just write off the one spot that those guys, the group of now six, had, that they were willing to go along with it. Because I'm sure Petiti and Sankey said, we'll allow you guys one seat at the table. So they allowed them to have control. And this is what we're going to see. This was all made for seven, oh, it'll be, what is it, eight more teams. 68 and 8, 76. Eight more teams to get into the dance. They will all come from the power conferences. Mark my word. And so now you've got, at the play-in, you'll have, this began as the first four, now it's going to be the first 24. 24 teams, 12 games, two sites. Dayton still in, someplace to the west of the Eastern time zone. So that could be Central time zone, Mountain time zone, Western time zone. Some city's going to get it. I have no idea who it'll be. But they'll get the second. So 24 teams, 12 games. I guess if they do it like they have when they've divvied this out, now you're going to get all four 16 seeds in. So there's two games from that. They play, 11 seeds and 12 seeds against one another? You're going to get that middle rung. So they should be competitive games. But the boys on the morning show, Greg and Eli, made a good point. Kind of screws up your bracket if that's really in the mix here of not liking this, because no one bets on these pregame deals, and now you have a hard time because you got 11s and 12s that'll be in the mix here. So for filling out brackets, it makes it a lot tougher. You can absolutely say goodbye to the crown. That was that tournament for the Power Four in Vegas. Because now you're going to be dealing with eight teams who might have been in your tournament that are gone now. You're really going down low. I don't think that was a success for Fox anyway. But goodbye to the crown, I would imagine. And the traditional 64-team bracket remains. That's good, but I don't know how you pick them when you've got so many games that will be counting in terms of now what will be, I don't know what they'll call this, first 24, whatever it ends up being called. Your thoughts, Landon Smith, when you saw all of this?
I mean, I fully agree with everything that you said. This is not for the Cinderella stories. It's so that we can get that extra SEC team in. It's so we can get that extra Big Ten team in, which it's fine, I guess. I mean, the more big names, I guess, is going to draw more of a crowd. But I'm like you. I miss the years in which the Cinderella story went, further than just the first round. I think Texas was the closest thing we had to that this past year. But that was, one team out of all the teams in the tournament. So I don't know. I think it's just to get, I guess, more big names in and to try to make everybody happy. I guess the big names happy.
I do think you'll probably get some better numbers on the first 24, right?
I think so. Yeah,
because you'll have bigger name teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're bigger market teams. When's the last? I remember VCU was one of the guys that went from the first four all the way. But I don't know how many have there been like that. Do you think because of this, with the more 12s and 11s getting in there, do you think you actually might see more runs from those Power Four schools that get an additional team in with a chance?
I think My answer would be I would hope so.
Well, I think
I would, I would
just
hope
by,
to see that.
By sheer numbers, you might.
Yeah.
Right?
I
just because there's
would.
More chances.
It's going to be an overwhelming amount of those teams that definitely, in previous years, would not make it and now are given a golden opportunity, and I don't think they're going to squander it. So you very well could see that.
We shall let it play out. They've got the votes. This thing is pretty much a formality.
Yeah, it's just
and it starts. It starts next year. Mm-hmm. I would like to say, oh, that's going to help the Tigers. Penny's going to get in. Well, I mean, I'll say this much: he can get a better seating if he can win in the non-conference, because this non-conference schedule he's got. I do want to go here. I wondered right from the get-go last year about this team that Penny had put together. And I think at this point you can still wonder a little bit about this team, but here's what you don't wonder about. There is purpose on the construction of this team. There's going to be a couple of alphas. I would suspect Jaden Reed, who came from Northwestern. He's going to be one of your alphas. I think there's one or two guys that are going to be signed here in the next week or so that could very well become an alpha. But there are absolutely going to be roles that are established early. This is what I want you to do for this team. And so based on what I'm seeing, I already like this team better than last year, especially if they get a couple of the pieces I think they're going to get in. I don't know how good this team will be defensively, but I think they'll be much more efficient offensively, and I think they will know their roles. I think they will be a better rebounding team if they get all the pieces that I think are coming. That's critical. They got to get that. But I like the way that Penny is going about putting this together. Now, I don't know if I think the organizational part is being done by the new GM, Gabriel Harris. I still think Penny is the biggest of the talent evaluators. I'm sure everybody's got a little say in all of this. But to me, he didn't wait. He didn't think, okay, I can get this guy. He's definitely got a plan. He's got roles in mind, and he's putting it together. There's still two or three big pieces that have to come. But thus far, I like for sure what I see. Today, down at the Renaissance Center, the Memphis Hall of Fame committee is going to vote on who the class will be this coming fall. I think it's either the sixth or the seventh class. We had a couple combined because of COVID. But there's some really big names that are out there. One would be John Calipari that are in the mix for next year's class. So, you know, we're going to vote today. I don't think we'll let that out for a while, but I love this new Sports Hall of Fame. I think it does a great job of honoring those that have sports legacy in this market. So back to the NBA before we take a break. We got a big show. There's no Dennis Phillippe today, but we do have Joe Dank on the business of sports. We'll ask him about the NCAA tournament expansion, and he's got some shocking news about Comcast and NBC. You remember they last fall had the Olympics. I shouldn't say fall. Well, I guess it is still fall. The Olympics, Super Bowl, NBA All-Star Games, fall to winter. Those three events, you would think that a lot of revenue is coming in. But there's a lot of revenue rights fees that you got to pay out. How did they do? He's got that number for you that I think you'll find pretty interesting for sure. In the NBA last night, now we got two into the second round. The Thunder were the first ones in. San Antonio moved in to round two. They dominated Portland last night, 114-95. De'Aaron Fox was outstanding. So, of course, was Wemby. So, Oklahoma City awaits the Lakers and Houston winner. They play tonight in L.A. I think the word, you tell me if I'm wrong, Landon, I think they've already said KD is out.
That's what I've heard.
It's in L.A. I think the Lakers
and the Thunder is all set up. Or I should say...
Lakers and Thunder.
Lakers and Thunder.
Yeah.
Boy, that'll be a good series.
Yeah. I think once KD realized he couldn't get it done, even when he was healthy against the Lakers, he just called it quits.
Could be.
I think so.
If
that's what it feels like.
It sure. I picked Boston to make the NBA Finals again.
Mm-hmm.
They better play better than they did last night. I mean, they had this game with Philly wrapped up. And they're in the Garden. They're going to make it a pretty easy, dominating, statement-making series. 28-11 fourth quarter for Philadelphia. Joel, I've never seen Joel Embiid move as much, as long as the Philly big man did last night. That was impressive. 33 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, even better, 8 assists. And Philly is sending the series back to Philadelphia. They're down 3-2. If they win that, it goes back to Boston. You know what? Celtics have all the pressure on them. That was crazy that fourth quarter last night. Knicks and Atlanta. No home team has lost a game in this. But the way the Knicks beat the Hawks last night, 126-97, I think it could have been even worse. Makes you think. This is New York series, right?
Oh, it's got to be.
I admire Atlanta for sticking in. Maybe they'll send it back to New York. But last night showed me when New York comes to play, the Hawks can't stay with them. Tonight you got Orlando and Detroit with the Magic up 3-1. Does Detroit win that game? I think they do.
They have to. I don't think it's either which way. They have to, or this is going to be a long offseason for them.
You think they can win 3 in a row?
It's tough.
I think so, too. I think you're going to see the number one seed go down to a number 8. It's happened before. I don't think it happens tonight. I think Detroit wins tonight, but I'm not sure they win in Orlando. You got Toronto at Cleveland. That one tied 2-2. This is another case where the home team has won every game. You know, lose the series till you lose a home game. And then, of course, we got that Lakers game with Houston. That is all on the docket tonight. We got Joe Dank coming right around the corner. I should remind everybody this portion of the show is brought to you by the good folks at Dinstals. And a reminder from Becky, she wants you all to know Mother's Day is right around the corner. Dinstals has her favorites. They're all ready for pickup at all your locations. We're talking in the burbs, Collierville and Germantown, even downtown. If you live downtown or if you're a tourist listening in, you want to go to that cute little place on Main Street. Then there's my neck of the woods in Laurelwood, and that place does great, by the way. They remodeled. It looks fantastic. And then you have where they make it, the biggest place, that is on Pleasant View. So pick up your Mother's Day treats. And a reminder from Becky, too, don't forget the Derby treats for Saturday's run for the chocolate-covered roses. No, they're strawberries. But they look sometimes like... I mean, they're as big as a rose, those strawberries. They really are. That is always a treat if you've got a derby party. And I should point out, Friday, right in our first segment, the tradition continues. Paul Rogers will join us. He will break down the Kentucky Derby for us. But don't forget, if you're going to a party, nobody ever said, please don't bring Dinstals. They always go, you bring Dinstals and you are welcome to our party. That is Mother's Day and the run for the roses. Dinstals will make those all so much more fun for you. Always fun to talk to Joe Dink. He comes your way on the business of sports in just a minute.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Welcome back into the Family Leisure Studios. A reminder, if you go to I-40 and Wooden Road, you will find the Battle of the Brands going on. They're calling it the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo. It's going on through May 10th. I'm calling it the Battle of the Brands because there are seven manufacturers all fighting for your business. Hot tubs started under $3,500. The big swim spas under $17,000. Mention this ad, you get a free cover lift with your spa purchase. Please get over and see our friends. See Billy? Tell him we sent you at Family Leisure. Also, this portion of the show, as we get set to talk with Joe Dank, is brought to you by Southern Security. You're talking about business with Joe. I'm going to talk to you about business with a credit union. Are you getting the lowest possible rate on your mortgage? Southern Security, they're going to offer the lowest rates, and they can do it because they're not for profit. Flexible terms, no PMI, unbeatable service. You can refinance that current mortgage you've got with the Mid-South's best mortgage leader because of the reasons I just said. For more information, go to southernsecurity.org, or you can call and talk to a human being at 901-452-7900. Southern Security, with seven locations, your home team credit union, federally insured by NCUA. Joe Dank, former general manager of 24 and 30 and many TV stations over the years, also a producer and the director of TV Sports, joins us every week to talk a little bit about the business of sports. It was a business move, in my estimation, by the Power Four conferences, really five in basketball, with the Big East included. They've expanded and messed with perfection. They've expanded the NCAA tournament. What do you think, Joe Dank?
Well, I don't disagree with anything you've said earlier here today. This is one more. It's a great example of the financial pressures that those big schools in the power conferences find themselves under at the present time due to the complete reinvention of the system. And the number one driver of that is the paying of the players. Yeah. So they have to figure out how to grab as much money as they possibly can and simply funnel it through. You get it in your left hand and you hand it into your right hand and you hand it over to somebody else. And that's what they're doing right now. And you just wonder how long it can continue and what else falls in the wake of what is nothing more now than a money grab at all levels of Power Four college sports. Yeah. I mean, everything they do is designed simply to generate some money for an instant fix for a current issue.
It's curious to me, though. I read somewhere, and I don't know how accurate this was, but that because they're in the middle of a television contract, that there's really not going to be that much more money coming to these schools because they're set with the financial parameters as they are. I guess this is to set the table for the future.
Well, look, that contract goes till 2032, so it's out there a ways, and that is an issue. But there are negotiations, obviously, right now. These games are not going to not be televised. They will be on television. They're finalizing an agreement, and the reports that I've been looking at this morning suggest that there will be a net plus to the NCAA, which is going to allow them, remember, they're going to award units to these additional teams. We talked about units throughout the course of the tournament at $2 million per, right?
Right.
So we're going to go from, we're going to add eight teams to this. So this, you need, at the very least, you need $16 million just simply for that to be a push, right?
Well, yeah, here's what I'm curious about. Now, you originally started the first four, and now there's going to be 24 teams in that 12 games in the first four. Do those schools get $2 million credit for the play-in games?
I think you have to believe that because, first of all, I saw a projection, half of the games are going to simply be the smallest auto qualifiers. So you're going to, 12 of those teams who are auto qualifiers right. by winning their conference are going to be out of the tournament before what you and I believe to be the beginning of the tournament
Correct.
On Thursday.
Right.
The other teams are going to be the teams that no longer make the crown because it's not going to exist, and they're going to be the Power Four teams that are going to come in at those 11 and 12 seed positions. So it's just, look. You said it best. This thing was perfect.
I know. I know.
You know, and somebody once said, if you break it, you own it. Well, they're going to break it, I think.
I hope not. You just mentioned the Crown. I don't think that was successful anyway, was it?
Listen, they were building it for another year. They had commitments to expand it significantly. Remember, they made that huge commitment to the Big 12 tournament, to the Big 12 conference.
Isn't that for the preseason tournament that they've got, not the post one? Or was that for the post?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. That one's probably still going to continue. Crown was a little bit ill-fated to begin with. There was no demand for those extra games amongst teams that didn't make the tournament. So, yeah, that will go away. But you know what? I still don't think there's not much demand for having 12 games over the Tuesday-Wednesday instead of the 4 games, right? And so you just go, wow, we've got to get 6 games in on each of those days where we're only getting 2 games. Those are going to be the Tuesday, Wednesday now is going to be an all day thing.
I know. I was just going
to
say,
games are going to have to be played.
If you're trying to look at the bright side and you love college basketball in the tournament, now you've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, wall to wall games. Wall to wall.
Yeah, but just remember, those are going to be 15 against 15, 16 against 16. These are auto qualifiers from teams that you wouldn't watch if it was the only game on a given night and you had a TV that only received one channel and that's what the game was on.
But you got 15s and 16s, they're competitive because they're playing at their level. And you'll have 12s and 11s in there too, I think, right?
When is the last time you watched an A-10 game or an Ohio Valley game on any given night because it was a competitive basketball game?
Oh, I've watched a couple for sure. St. Louis was really fun to watch this year. A-10.
I went too high when I went A-10 anyways. I mean, but you know my point. I think we've created something that is only designed, the only demand for this. I will tell you, you can't believe that the smaller conference AQs wanted this because it takes them out of the main bracket and pushes them to these early games.
100%.
And so that's not a good development. The only people who wanted it were the teams who were on the outside looking in on Sunday at around 6 o'clock our time here in the Central Time Zone that said, you know, we were 10th in the Big Ten, and we had a 500 league record, and, you know, we lost 10 games, and we didn't get in, and we wish we were in. And now they're going to be in. That's all dissatisfied.
100%. All right. This is news that is interesting to me. Comcast, which owns NBC, Peacock, all those wonderful entities, had big events. And I thought they produced them really well. The Olympics, the Super Bowl, the NBA All-Star Game, I could take or leave. But they had all those products. You would think, with all the commercials, that they would be doing pretty well because they pulled it all off. What's the real story with Comcast and NBC?
Yeah, so as you suggest, Comcast is one of these gigantic media companies. And it's some of its holdings that we pay most attention to are NBC Universal, the NBC Network, NBC Sports, and Peacock. And in February, they called it Legendary February. We remember we talked about it. All of that stuff was so well produced, so well presented, great advertiser sponsorship integration, everything else. So the overarching company, Comcast, generated $31.5 billion in first quarter. That was up 5% over the previous year. Their net revenue, however, was just $2.2 billion. So they went out and they raised $31.5 billion in all their revenue streams and only put $2.2 billion in the bank. That was minus 36% versus the prior year. The media unit, and that is the unit specifically that includes NBC and NBC Sports and Peacock, their revenue, Dave, for that quarter was up 61% over the prior year because, of course, the prior year NBC did not have a Super Bowl. They did not have an Olympics, and that was before the NBA deal kicked in. So all of those costs flowed in, but so did all of the inventory and the commercial opportunity. So the revenue was up 61% to $7 billion. The result, however, was that the unit lost $436 million in a quarter, just a quarter, three-month period. In
what,
other
what
words,
is, what
these
does that
guys,
do? Is that just they paid too much for it, or they just didn't sell enough, or sell enough at a higher price? What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, look, so here's what we know, because we talked about this too at the time. NBC Super Bowl was sold out at a record per unit cost. The Olympics were sold out and set a record for Winter Olympics on total revenue. The point simply is this stuff costs a lot of money to get competitively. Now,
and to produce. You got to take production fees into account here.
Well, and that's all baked into all of this. That comes into the loss, obviously. You know, the interesting thing, and this is what big-time guys who look at this from 30,000 feet and all of this other things, you know, Peacock, during the quarter, added 2 million subscribers. So that counts for something.
Sure.
Peacock is now up to 46 million. So
wow.
2 million people pay whatever Peacock costs, $5, $6 a month. Do the math on that. It's $12 million. Times 12, it's $150 million. So,
wow.
I mean, that counts, but in the presence of that ad, you still lose $436. It's the economics of big business, and it's just illustrative, I think, of the way it works. What was interesting when Comcast announced these results, the overall revenue exceeded analyst expectations, and the stock popped 7% that day on the announcement.
Right.
So, I just thought it was an interesting snapshot to share. You know, even at the $2.2 billion against the $31.5, that's only a 7% margin. You know, there's not – people think it's a better – 7%, I mean, shoot, if your market portfolio is doing poorly, you're doing better than that these days,
well,
right?
That's why numbers can lie because, you look at that, you go, whoa, what the heck's going on? And then you go, like you just said, they got – all those new subscribers to Peacock, their stock went up 7%. So there's other ways you make up for things.
You do, but, you know, it is interesting. Everybody thinks that, well, you've got the Super Bowl, you're making a fortune. You got the Super Bowl, you got a lot of eyeballs, and then you have to look to find what impact did that have on other pieces of our business. Because on a dollar-for-dollar expense versus revenue associated with that little snapshot in time, it doesn't look like it made a lot of sense.
Well, the NFL draft had a lot of folks there, a record 320,000 folks near downtown Pittsburgh, right up against the stadium in a beautiful setting right on the river. That was a success. How were the NFL draft rankings? They were on so many platforms.
They were in the results that were announced aggregated all of those platforms, which included ABC, ESPN, NFL Network, and Deportes and some others. But it did 13.2 million viewers on Thursday night, the opening round. That was down 3% versus last year. Last year did 13.6 million. The all-time best is 15.5 million back in 2020.
Wow.
So it's off a bit. It's off a bit. And some people attribute it to a couple of things. You know, last year was driven by Shedeur Sanders and that saga. Remember,
yeah,
we all watched
sure.
the first round go, and he didn't get picked. Heck, he didn't get picked till Saturday. And I think now this is an interesting trend, and I read this morning. You know, there's an increasing lack of college football players and where they are because of this transfer portal, because of all of these guys moving around. I mean, look, Mendoza's the story. He's the Heisman Trophy winner, everything else. If a year ago today we said Fernando Mendoza, he had played for 3 years at Cal at that point, you
right.
and I might not have known him, and you and I pay attention.
I know.
So what's the average guy doing? Now all of a sudden he's your number one pick. He appeared out of nowhere. Had an unbelievable season, but nobody has followed that. You know, I mean, remember the day? I mean, Archie Griffin won the Heisman twice. And he played for 4 years, right, at Ohio
yeah.
State?
Yeah.
We're never going to see that again.
No. Well, when was the $15 million for these things? That wasn't that long ago.
No, I said 2020.
Okay. So I would be, I'm not saying concerned, but I would be wondering if I were Roger Goodell why I lost, you know, 2 million viewers. And you know, I would have to think maybe a little fatigue because how many weeks in advance did we hear and see so many shows about this draft? I mean, I got tired of it. And then on top of that, you had five different networks all showing the same thing.
Now, keep in mind one thing, and I don't know this for a fact, but that 13.2 million aggregated on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Is going to probably be the number one television audience of the week that week.
Hmm.
So that's a reference point as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there might be a downward trend, but my goodness, this still delivered. You know, the NBA playoffs, David, through the early rounds are averaging 4.9 million fans per game for a playoff game in the NBA. And
right. This
is a draft. Nobody even threw a football other than guys being introduced on the stage, and they did 13.2 million. So all things are relative,
good
right?
Good point. The playoffs are under 5, and the draft was over 13. That is well said. Thank you, Joe, as always. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thank you, David.
That is our man on the business of sports. That is Joe Dank. He's brought to you by a guy who knows business for sure. That's Sheldon, Mark Spensdorf. You know, you watch these NBA playoffs, they all have great point guards, right? And that's exactly what Sheldon is. He loves golf, but he's not very good at that because he can never practice. But he's always practicing the strategy that he's got to get you to the closing table to sell your home. It's so easy to get to know him. He says talk to two or three real estate brokers. Just make sure you get a hold of him at 483-0546 or the website, memphisrelocate.com. Yeah. Social media will tell you all about him. So many raving reviews because he's got a strategy. You know, they used to always say, "You gotta have a plan, and you gotta work your plan." That's exactly what he does. He's got a strategy, and he works it 24/7, 365. So get a hold of Sheldon if you want to get to the closing table. MemphisRelocate.com or 483-0546. We make golf picks. It's Doral. It's next on Wallow and Friends.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, "Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Wallow and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Time to talk golf and make picks. Greg Hines from the beautiful Windyke Country Club. Johnny Lyons sells Blazers, a big part of the Memphis media. We're going to have to get Greg Hines back. Somehow I blew that. And we got Mickey Barker, who is the czar of Memphis Public Golf. Guys, we got another signature event, and the winner gets $3.6 million. So I can get back in this because I'm trailing big. I'll get more into that in a second. But we got a lot of guys missing. No Rory, no Xander Schauffele, no Aborg, no Matt Fitzpatrick, who could have won three in a row. Cantlay just dropped out of this whole thing. So tell me, what do you think? I'll start with you, Johnny. What do you think we can do? And they're going to figure this thing out with the new schedule, which will come out in June. But this is a problem. I guess, is there too much money in golf that you can't get all these guys here for these tournaments? Good morning.
Good morning, Willow. I'm glad to see the tournament, you know, the PGA Tour back in Doral in Miami. A lot of people have played that course. I played it.
The Blue Monster.
I mean, it's 7,739 yards.
With water everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, they could have just added 38 yards and made it 77-77. But I think that, you know, it's alarming, but because these guys aren't showing up to the big event, and you know, it's also strange that Rory's not playing in it, and he was at the White House for the state dinner last night with King Charles, and you know, this is Donald Trump's golf course, and it's alarming. You know,
I'm surprised. That's two signature events in a row that he's missing. Mickey, what do you think about this dilemma?
Well, to me, it's just, you know, getting back to back with the Truist in Charlotte. I think that's the problem, is that, you know, a lot of the top players don't like to play the week right before a major, and so you've got these three big events in three successive weeks. I think it's tough. You're going to have to choose, and they're all going to play the PGA.
Right.
And, you know, Scotty won the PGA at Quail Hall last year, and now he's skipping it, but I understand why, you know, so just kind of picking one of the 2 weeks, I think, is what they're doing. I don't think it's that big a deal. You got the number one player in the world there. There will be some great competition, so I think the ratings will still be good.
I think Greg Hines, when it's all said and done, they bring that new schedule out, there'll probably be one major in the – it's April, May, June, July, right? That's when they have the majors, and there'll probably be one signature event in those and maybe two in February or something to – I know they want to have at least eight of these, but they're going to have to even them out because players don't want to play 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go with all this. I mean, it's definitely interesting, and I can't quite figure out exactly where he's going with it either. But, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a point where these guys make enough money that they don't have to play in every one of these.
Yeah.
And there's so many of them now that they know they can get the money they need to get the ranking they need to go forward. So, I mean, it's good for the young golfers out there, the guys trying to make their name and make their way up and getting opportunities to play in these things. But, you know, the PGA move into May really was kind of the start of a lot of changing in all this. And it's just really hard to figure out how they're going to fit all these weeks in.
Well, especially when you don't want to, you just don't want to go up against football. That's the whole key to all of this. We had a great story, Mickey Barker, this past weekend, and that was the Fitzpatrick brothers. You know, Alex played great on Sunday. He helped his brother. His brother hit the big shot to end up winning the darn thing. But now Alex gets 2 years of PGA Tour eligibility. He'd already won a DP World Tour event. But last week was a great story for the only team event they have this year down in New Orleans.
Yeah, it was really good. It's not like Matt just carried him. He, you know, they both played great. They're really good players on their own right individually, and you know, obviously Matt's number three in the world, so that makes a difference. I'd play with my brother too if I had if he was number three in the world. So I think it's a great story. I really think the story of the weekend was Nelly Korda, how good she is.
Oh, you're
winning
right.
The Chevron. I mean, she is Tiger Woods. Just about. I mean, she didn't make a putt at all over the weekend and won by five.
And that's what she said. I loved it afterwards. She made that she said the lesson here is you can be a poor putter and still win.
Yeah, it was amazing. I actually watched some of that of her rounds both days, and she hit it so good and just made nothing.
Yeah. She's won three majors at the age of 27. There's only a couple that have done a handful of that. And she's going to win a whole lot more. That is for sure. Let me get some picks here before we run out of time. We can talk some other things on the back end. I will let you know the winner last week was Johnny. He had almost 2.8 million. Nobody did really well after that. Greg finished with almost 300,000. Mickey, you had 95. I had under $39,000. I mean, so I'm last because I got 2.3 million. Mickey, you're third, so you'll have the second pick at 3.9 million. This thing at the top is close. Greg, you're still on top, 6,333,192. Johnny's got 6,254,554. Now, if I finished 1, 2, 3 this week, I could win it. All these guys are missing, but you know who's not missing this week? Scotty Scheffler. And I'm not missing my opportunity to get him.
You just keep taking him as your first pick, Dave. Eventually, you're going to catch up.
I know. I should have taken the Fitzpatrick brother. I could have last week, and I took guys didn't make the pick, the cut, Koepka and Lowry. That killed me. Okay, Mickey, you're next.
Boy, it's a toss-up after that. You know, I think Scheffler's far and away the pick here, but it's a hard, long golf course. I'm going to go with Gotterup. I think it's a good setup for him.
Wow, I didn't think he would go that early. That's very interesting. Mr. Barker, Johnny.
Okay. It'll be a tough week here. I'm going to go with Victor Hovland.
Hovland, okay. And
all right, that makes it easy.
You
can
make it real easy for me, but I know you won't. I know who you're taking.
He made it really easy on me. He made me a lot of money at the Masters. I'll take Cameron Young.
That's exactly who I was taking. All right, I'm going to take a chance, hoping that he's healthy. I'm going to go with Colin Morikawa.
It's a big ballpark for him, but he tends to play very well.
Yeah.
Sam Burns be my next pick.
Now that's a great pick.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Johnny?
Yeah, it's going to be a – you have to get pretty lucky to win this one. I'll go with Rosie.
Okay. I don't blame you.
Good pick. Good pick. Good pick. I am going to go Jake Knapp.
Oh, wow. You always take the guy that I had earmarked. You know, people are saying this course is built for him. I'm going to go with a proven guy. I'm going to go with Hideki Matsuyama.
Very good. 190 ball speed, hitting a hold off cut, pretty strong. Gary Woodland.
Okay. I'd love to see Gary Woodland win another tournament. That would really be something. And you're right, he's got the length. Johnny?
I'm going to take a long shot and go with Daniel Berger.
Daniel Berger. Okay.
He needs it.
Last pick.
Well, I think you made it easy on me. I'm going to take Batia.
Yeah, Akshay. I don't blame you. So I got Scotty, Morikawa, and Hideki. Mickey's got Gutterup, Sam Burns, Gary Woodland. Johnny's got Hovland, Justin Rose, and Daniel Berger. And Greg's got Cam. Who did you take?
Cam Young.
Oh, yeah. You took Cameron Young, yeah. I can't believe he lasted that long. Young, Knapp, and Akshay Bhatia. Fantastic. All right, one last thing before we go. The Open. That's the British Open to some of us, but known as the Open Championship worldwide, has decided, because players like Sergio Garcia and Robert McIntyre are so ill-behaved, they're going to go with this new thing called a code of conduct that you have to sign and agree to before you play in their tournament. Augusta did this year. They're doing it quickly. Mickey Barker, Johnny Lyons, Greg Hines in that order. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's good. I just think they're bringing it to life. The code of conduct is always in tournaments where the committee can deem you disqualified or penalized for poor conduct. So yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Johnny?
Yeah, I guess, you know, they're trying to eliminate these player tantrums
right
on the course. And, of course, I play golf with a guy that constantly slams his putter on the ground, and you know, it gets old watching all that. You know, you got to be above that, and I think it's kind of good.
All right, Greg, your last word.
I mean, these are the guys that are supposed to be setting the example, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard to control your temper in golf. I'm one of those guys that's done that before, but it's a gentleman's game, and you know, I think this day and age, we need to go back more towards a little more decorum in the game, a little more respect for the golf course, raking bunkers, fixing ball marks, and it starts with the tour.
I agree with that.
The message on the tour.
I agree with that. I think it's a shame they have to do this for these guys. But and part of it is, I hate to say it, but, you know, we've allowed this kind of poor behavior at the Ryder Cup. This has opened up the door for people to lose their tempers, it seems to me. It's loosened things up. I hate that it's happened, but I have to agree. I think this was the right move by the powers that be. Thank you guys so much. As always, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you, and we'll pick them all
next
week.
Thank you, Will. See you, Greg. See you, Mickey. Have a great week.
Bye, guys.
See you.
Greg Hines, Johnny Lyon, and, of course, the czar of public golf, Mickey Barker, who's brought to you. He brings you each week these picks with Memphis Public Links. If you want a tee time, simple. You go to memphispubliclinks.com. Every city tournament, every golf course has a championship that's in the city. And then there's a city championship. And they're trying to really promote more ways to get into competitive golf to get you really hooked, I guess, because I love it. I will tell you that. If you got to play by the rules and you got to, you know, no gimmies, got to put the ball in, no touch. This is how you get better, and it's so much fun. If you're trying to find out where these championships are, just go to memphispubliclinks.com. That'll do it for us, the usual show tomorrow. Pete Pranica will join us and a whole lot more. We look forward to that. In the meantime, don't go anywhere, because Johnny Radio's next. Have a great day, everyone.